Jesus, Jesus, for I prepare you, saith the Spirit of grace, in an hour that you think not. I prepare you in a time and a season that does not seem convenient. I come again and again because of the outcry of this place and because of the foundation and because of everything that has been lifted up through my grace, that which I have supplied year after year. I come again to supply the grace, the line on line and the precept on precept, to teach you and to bring you closer to that place that you have called on me for, and that you have brought forth supplication and prayers and giving of thanks in many different ways. I come again to speak to you. I desire to prepare you for revival. I desire to prepare you for the outpouring. I desire to place inside of you the image, the imagination, the understanding, and everything that will come before and during, and everything that will take you into the very last of the last, saith the Spirit of God. Receive of these things, walk in these things. Know this, that I come again with purging. I come again to cut back. And even when you think there's nothing left to cut back, I come again and again and again. And when I am done, understand this, that no chastening for the moment seemeth good, but afterwards it brings forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness and joy in my spirit. So yield in these days and yield in these hours to the word of the Lord and to the wisdom of God and to the purgings and the comings of my spirit dealing with you in this place and in the days that you will hear these words spoken over these next few days. Listen, but not only in this place, but in your bedrooms, in your cars, in your kitchens, in your bathrooms. Listen to me, for I come again as a comforter. I come again as a voice. I come again saying, come away with me. Come away with me. Lay everything aside and come away with me, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands? Father, we just worship you.
The word that the Lord shared earlier during your praise and worship through your pastor is more appropriate than you realize. It is so appropriate for what God is wanting to do this week. This whole week, I'm going to be using notes more than I have ever used anywhere where I've preached. I don't even use notes like this when I'm preaching at my own church, unless it's a specific series on something. But I would say maybe about 2 months, a little more than 2 months ago, God began sharing things with me about these services and this church. And I'm going to be sharing principles concerning revival that would apply to any church, but specifically, he wants these things said here. And what's happened is this. In our church, here the Lord has had me minister from, but prior to the beginning of the year, about change. We had spiritually reached a point to where he's ready to take us to the next level in him. But there are some things that we need to focus on as far as change in us, but we're at a place where we can make these changes so that he then can take us to this next level. Well, the same thing has happened here in this church. You have been seeking God for a long time. A long time. And I don't have to ask, but I already know that there are some. Your thoughts have been, you know what, we've been at this for how long now? Okay, where are the results? Well, by the time this week is over, I'm going to be pointing out the results that maybe you have missed, but they're happening now. Things that the Lord has shown me. Well, you are at a place spiritually to where God is wanting to take you to a higher place in Him on this path to revival. And the things I'm going to share with you, maybe things some of you have heard before, maybe you haven't. During the course of this week, I'm going to be sharing with you prophecies, a couple of words specifically that the Lord had given to me. One is pretty short, but and the other one just a little bit longer, things that I've never shared before. He has not released me. He gave them to me within the last couple of, really about the last few weeks. And here is where I'm supposed to share these. I'm going to be passing some things along to you that have to do with revival that it's not a rebuke, it's not a correction, but it is an instruction in righteousness. It is an exhortation. It is an edification to help you go from where you have reached into this next place in preparation for revival. I'd like you to open first this morning to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to pick this up in verse 14. And I realize that we're jumping in the middle of a teaching that Paul has given. But picking it up in verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. This is absolutely critical, because when you're pressing into revival, if you do not know what the will of God is, you cannot press into revival. Now, this sounds so simple, but it is one of the major mistakes that a lot of churches will make when they're trusting God. We want to see revival in our region, our city, our church, our nation, whatever. And that's very good, and that's very noble, and it is a correct thing to want. But if you do not know what the will of God is, then you're not going to know what He wants when it comes to pressing into revival. Our concept of revival is very interesting in that it's like we have a basic understanding of what revival is, but we don't grasp the fullness of what revival means for us. So now let's start taking a look at this. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And I'll just reference Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was confronted by the devil. The devil said, well, you know, if you be the Son of God, turn the stones into bread. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God. You know what? If you ask Christians what that means, a lot of them really aren't sure. Well, you know, you just read the Bible and that's what you do. But what did Jesus say? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What happened earlier in this service? The Holy Spirit moved upon your pastor, did He not? And the Holy Spirit ministered to your pastor and gave your pastor the words to say to this congregation this day. And your pastor delivered what we would call a prophetic word. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Did God speak that or not? That's not meant to be a trick question. Did God speak it or not? If you believe that God spoke that this morning, do you understand that we now have the responsibility to live by that word? You say, well, if it's not in Scripture, then I don't have to live by it. Okay, doesn't the Bible say that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God? And it's profitable for what? Well, you know, for our doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. If all Scripture has been given by inspiration of God, that means all Scripture originated in the heart of God, then He spoke it. And as He spoke it, somehow, some way, to those who wrote it, we now have the results of that. We call it the Bible. However, every prophetic word that goes forth from a service, if it is truly a prophetic word, it originated in the heart of God, did it not? There is no difference. And this is where a lot of Christians make a huge mistake. We take a prophetic word that is given forth in a service, and we don't really think about the fact that this prophetic word originated in the heart and mind of Almighty God in the same way that Scripture originated in the heart and mind of Almighty God. And so what we do is we take Scripture and we put it over here. Then we take prophetic words and we put them over here. And because prophetic words will never become Scripture, we diminish their value in our lives. And because we diminish their value in our lives, we do not see the importance of paying as much attention to them as we do to what is recorded in Scripture. Prophetic words will never become Scripture, but prophetic words will always line up with Scripture. Always. Now, this is very critical for what we're going to learn this morning. In Hebrews chapter 11, do you realize that there are a lot of people out there and somebody just heard something for the first time in your life? No, I am not saying that prophetic words are Scripture. I want to make that clear. But they come from the same source. Let me ask you a question. You know how it talks about that the Apostle Paul writes, well, I was caught up to the third heaven and, you know, I had an audience, a personal audience with Jesus. If that were to happen to you, if Jesus were to walk into your room one night and sit down and ask you to make him some coffee, and so the two of you are sipping, you know, your lattes, and he starts talking to you about you, and he shares things to you that he wants you to do, would you look at him and say, well, now, Jesus, I'm sorry, but I don't read that in the Bible anywhere. That there is no chapter and verse with those words you just said. So I, you know, you might as well just go on back to heaven. I don't think so. You know what you'd do? You couldn't wait to get on the phone and call Pastor Bronk and say, you're not going to believe this. Jesus was just in my living room. He sat down and we talked and here's what he said and here's what I said. And he told me things about me and things he wants me to do. Oh, Pastor, it was incredible. You'd want to stand up on Sunday and give a testimony of how Jesus showed up in your living room. But what about the prophetic words that you receive during the services? I mean, why is there this difference? It's because mentally we assign these differences. It's because of how we approach this, and we simply do not esteem prophetic words the way that we should. Well, be encouraged to know that prophetic words will never become Scripture, but they will line up with Scripture, and prophetic words are extremely critical when it comes to us fulfilling everything that God wants us to fulfill. See, I was raised in a church where we were taught God doesn't speak anymore. I've learned differently. He does speak. And he's our Father. Why in the world wouldn't he want to speak to us? Well, here in Hebrews chapter 11. Anytime you've ever been in services where they preached about faith, sooner or later they're going to get to Hebrews chapter 11. Well, look what it says. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Well, I know years ago, when I got to that third verse and I saw the word worlds, in my mind, I'm thinking planets, stars, all that kind of thing. Well, when I began studying this out, I realized and discovered that this word worlds does not mean planets. It literally means the ages, a period of time, a set period of time. So we could say it like this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the ages in which the elders lived were framed by the word of God. Altered, changed. The course was set for that age in which the elders lived by the word of God. And it says here in verse 2 that by faith the elders obtained a good report. Well, that brings up a question. Who gave them that good report? It was God. God gave a good report over the elders. Elders, just think in terms of People in the past who heard God. People in the past who served God. God is the one who gave them a good report. Because they heard the word of God. They begin acting upon that word of God. And by acting upon that word of God, they begin to change the circumstances of their age, of their world. Now let's take a look here at this, at some of these. And we're going to just kind of skip through here, chapter 11. In verse 7, it says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Now, you can go back and read, beginning in Genesis chapter 6, this whole story of Noah. But what happened? Well, Noah's going about his business. One day the Lord begins to speak to him. He says, "Noah, the world is corrupt. I mean, the heart and minds of men are filled with violence. People are killing people." I mean, he just, all the horrible stuff. In other words, what was happening at the time that God spoke to Noah about building the ark is the direction our society is headed. You say, well, how do you know that? That's because Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. That's just part of what he was talking about. Think of the increase of violence. Well, anyway, Noah received this instruction from God. And God said, now here's what I want you to do. You build this ark. And he gave him the blueprint on how to build this ark. He said, well, you know, it's got to be this size and made out of this kind of wood and so on and so forth. And here's what's going to happen. When the ark is finished, there's going to be a flood. Rains are going to come and so forth. I'm going to destroy all of humanity. I'm going to reboot with you. I'm going to start over with you and your family. And so that's what happened. Well, in the same chapter here, chapter 11, in verse 8, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went." Well, you know the story. Abraham's going about his business, living life as life he knew to live, and then God speaks to him. And he says, "Abraham, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pack everything up. I want you to leave home, leave family, and I want you to head off in that direction. I'll tell you when you arrive at the destination. But I want you to keep going in this direction. I'll give you, you know, there'll be changes along the way and so forth, but this is what I want you to do." So Abraham, he received this word from God. He began to act on it. And we know the result. He ended up, there in the what we refer to as the promised land and so forth. But he became the father of nations. I mean, just the whole story. You know how it all went back there in Genesis chapter 12. You can be good reading about this. Now look in Hebrews 11 verse 23. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." Now I'm not going to read all the rest about Moses. I just used this verse to introduce Moses. We know the story of Moses. How that, he was raised there in Egypt. He left Egypt and he was out there helping his father-in-law. And the burning bush, it was on flame, but it wasn't consumed. And so he goes over to check it out and he hears the voice of God, "Moses, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground." So he takes off his shoes and he begins to receive instructions from God. And God says, "I've heard the cry of my children of Israel. And, the time has come for them to be redeemed and delivered from the hand of their captor and so forth. And so, Moses, I'm going to send you. You're going to be the man that I choose out of all the Israelites, out of all the people that are alive on this planet. I'm choosing you to go and go before Pharaoh to get my people set free." And Moses, he kind of argued and debated with God for a little bit, but finally he agreed to go and to do this. We know what happened. Moses went before Pharaoh. You know the story, the plagues. And so finally Israel gets delivered out of Egypt. Now look in verse 30. "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Well, you know the story of Jericho. How that Joshua received instructions from God. And God said, "Joshua, here's what you do. 6 days you march around the city one time. On the seventh day, you go around it 7 times. On the seventh time, you give a big shout. The walls are going to come down. You guys go in and take control. Because those people are on your land. And I'm going to take you through and drive out all of the inhabitants of the land. Because that is your possession. I've given it to you." Well, that happened. We read the story, we see what happened, and they went and they took the city. But you don't stop there. If you continue reading all the way through Hebrews, there are references to prophets. There are references to other people who did things for God. And in essence, God would speak something to somebody, and then that prophet, Jeremiah or Elisha or Ezekiel or whoever it is there in Scripture, that person would then go forth and they would speak those things that God told them to speak. They would do those things that God told them to do, and they got the results that God said that they would get. Over and over and over again that happened. So what you see then is a record in Scripture of how those people changed their entire generation by acting upon the Word of God. I mean, obviously, Noah changed his entire generation. He changed it so much, he started a new generation. I mean, the whole world was impacted. And literally, the whole planet was impacted every time one of these guys began to move. Every time these guys obeyed. Egypt, when Moses obeyed, and Egypt literally collapsed as a result of what happened, Egypt has never since been the world power they were at that time. The course of history was changed because these people operated with what God told them to do. Now, I want you to think about this. The word that Abraham, Noah, all the rest of them, the word that they received was not Scripture. The Bible hadn't been written. The word that they received was not Scripture. It became Scripture because it was recorded for us. But at the time it was given, it was not Scripture. You know what it was? A prophetic word that they received from the Lord. Just like what happened earlier in this service. They received a prophetic word from God. And they began to act upon that prophetic word. And the result was, they changed their world. And the word that they received, now listen closely to this part. The word that they received is not the word of God to you. You say, well, what do you mean by that? The Bible's for everybody. No, I didn't say the Bible. God has not told one person in this room to build an ark. Correct? God has not told one person to go before Pharaoh and say, let my people go. God has not told one person to pack up their bags and head to a land of promise, milk, and honey. You follow what I'm saying here? The word that they received was not Scripture at the time they received it, but it became Scripture. And the word that they received, even though it became Scripture, is not the word to you. It is also not the word to this church. You know what it is? It is an example of what happens when people receive a word from God and then obey that word. Because not only are they obeying unto obedience, but they are obeying unto blessings. Because when God would give words to people, typically, there were blessings associated with that word of instruction. Now, very briefly, Scripture, I want to share with you, I was praying all about this, and the Holy Spirit began speaking to me. And here is a brief summary of what Scripture is. Scripture is a revelation of, number one, God's plan for humanity. That's revealed in Genesis 1 and 2. Number two, what you were without Jesus. Number three, what Jesus did for you. Number four, what happened to you when you received Jesus. Number five, what you now are because of Jesus. And number six, how you can now live through the life you have received from Jesus. That is the summary of what Scripture is all about. Now, it is true that we have the Bible and that living by faith means we live by what we see in Scripture, what is recorded in the Word of God. However, Scripture is not God's personal revelation to you. Do you understand what I mean by that? A lot of people talk about, oh, I just wish I knew what God wanted me to do. I just wish I knew what God's will is for my life. All right, now think about what you're saying. You're saying, I wish I knew what God's will is for my life. That means you already acknowledge that the only person who has that information is God. Therefore, if you don't hear from God, how are you going to know what God's will is for your life? Do you follow this logic? Pastor, would you please pray for me? Please, do you have a word for me? Has God shared anything with you about me? Well, as a matter of fact, he has, but I don't think you want to hear it. He says you're not listening. Now, don't take that personally, but, you know, like they say, if the shoe fits. Scripture is not God's personal word to you. Scripture is a word to humanity. Scripture contains examples to inspire us. Scripture contains examples of people living by faith. It's like God is saying, you see, you're not going to mess up if you do what I tell you to do. Look at all these people. You have this cloud of witnesses who have gone before you. I remember years ago people would say, yes, we have a cloud of witnesses. They're up in heaven, and God is pulling back the clouds of heaven so that they can watch. It's like they painted this image of these, it's like a football arena or stadium, you know, like all these people in the stands looking down from heaven and cheering us on. Go, that is not what that means. It just means you have this collection of people who have gone before you. Look at what they've done. They have a testimony that serving God is worth it. They have a testimony that there's a blessing when you obey what God tells you to do. They have a testimony to you. They can stand up and say, I received a word from God. I did what God told me to do, and I got the results that God promised would happen. When they did what they did, it wasn't because they read about it in the Bible. It was because they had received a word from God. Now listen, without God's personal word to you, it will be impossible for you to live by faith the way these people here in Hebrews chapter 11 live by faith. They didn't live by Scripture, they lived by what became Scripture. They lived by what they received from God, an instruction from God. They received this word from Him, and they went and they obeyed and they did what they did. Living by faith is the way that Jesus lived here on this earth. He said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. I only say what my Father tells me to say. In other words, Jesus was in communication with the Father. Jesus did not, there was nothing in the Old Testament that said, and thou my son Jesus, go to Capernaum and go over here to the well and speak to the Samaritan. There was nothing in Scripture about that. Nothing. There's a revelation of the Messiah in Scripture. But there were no personal instructions to Jesus. And not only that, but His relationship with the Father was such to where He literally walked every day in that peace of God. Amen. And He knew. He knew if he were thinking of, maybe I should go over here to this city, but he could sense on the inside a disturbance of that peace inside. He knew, okay, wait, that's not the right thing for me to choose. Father, where do you want me to go? I mean, I was thinking I should go to Jericho, but where do you want me to go? And the Father would say, no, I need you to go back to Jerusalem today. I need you to go over here. He was constantly obedient to the Father unto death on the cross. Father, if it's possible, if there's another way for humanity to be saved, then let this cup pass from me. But not my will, yours be done. I came here to go to that cross, and if that's what it takes, I'm going to the cross. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Because of that, God's given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. These people receive this word. Now, when it comes to revival, you can receive prophetic words that are encouraging to you. Prophetic words that can be uplifting to you. But what you need is a word from God concerning His instruction to you. What He wants you to do. It's great to be called out in a service. Yes, I am ministering my peace to you. The answer is coming. The healing is manifesting. Whatever it is. That feels good. And we need those things. And we should have those things. But when it comes to me knowing where I should go next, when it comes to me understanding what I'm supposed to do relative to my church family, I need to hear from God. I need to know, I need to feast on the Word. I need to get into the Word. I need the Bible. I need to sow the Word into my life. But I need to hear from God what He wants me to do. Because if I don't know what God wants me to do, then I don't know how to obey Him. And if I don't know how to obey Him, then I won't know what to do in obedience to Him. And if I don't know what to do in obedience to Him, I can't do it. And if I can't do it, then I cannot receive the blessings associated with the obedience. Do you see this? Because He will bless your obedience. He desires obedience more than sacrifice. I'm sacrificing for the Lord. You shouldn't be sacrificing for the Lord. You need to obey. Is it possible we sacrifice more than what we should out of what we think He wants us to do as opposed to doing what He wants us to do? This is where people miss it when it comes to revival. Well, what do we do? I don't know. Tell you what, we want revival in our land, in our city, in our church. Here's what we'll do. We're going to form the revival committee. We're going to find out what God wants us to do. We're going to come up with plans to reach our city for Jesus. So what do we do? Well, let's see. There are a lot of door-to-door witnessing programs out there. Really? Well, where do we get those? Well, we could order them from the internet. Well, let's order them. A set for everybody in the church. And then we'll tell everybody how to do what the program says to do. And then we're going to go out door to door to door to door. And we're going to tell people about Jesus. Well, how's that working? Well, we ain't never done that in our church. And you know, Brother Jim, I've been thinking that's what we need to do. We need to go door to door in our community. That's what you've been thinking? All right, well, let me ask you a question. What's the mind of Christ? What's He want? Well, we're supposed to go to the highways and the byways. I know He wants us to go door to door. No, you don't know anything. You're telling me what you've seen other churches do. You're telling me what you've heard about other churches doing. I got a clue for you. It hasn't worked. Well, how do you figure that? Look around you in the body of Christ. How well has that worked? You can always find an outreach or an evangelism program. You can always find something that man has developed and then apply it to you and your church. And God's up there the whole time saying, I'll tell you what you need to do whenever you're ready. You just need to come to me and ask about it. But you keep chasing to and fro after every wind of outreach. And you're trying to reach your community. You're trying to cause revival to happen. Your attitude is right. Your zeal is commendable. But you're not doing it the way I want you to do it. Yeah, but this program worked, you know, out there in Denver. God says, you ain't in Denver. You're in Immokalee. Yeah, well, this program I've heard, it worked so good up in Minneapolis. He says, you ain't in Minneapolis. Those people are shoveling snow. You don't do that down here. You're in Immokalee. Well, I don't understand, God. If this church developed such and such and it worked for them, why won't it work here? It's because it's what I told them to do in that church. But it's not what I'm telling you to do. You need to find out what you want me to do. You need to find out how I want you to listen to me while I'm listening to you. And we are in communication. And you are presenting your requests to me according to my word. Praying, asking me to move. And because you're asking me to move in accordance with my word, I then will be able to move through you to bring about revival here. In this place. In this place. Paul, you can go back there and read about it in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 16. Paul was thinking, you know what? There's a bunch of lost people in Asia. Now, you know, we've had good success here in, you know, wherever he was. All these other places. I'll tell you what, fellas. Let's pack up. Let's head over to Asia. And Holy Spirit spoke to Paul and says Paul was forbidden of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this, to go tell people about Jesus in Asia. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine in your wildest dreams God saying, no, I don't want you to go tell those people about Jesus. Do what? They're lost. They're going to hell. We need to come up with a Reach Asia program. Get on television. Raise funds for the Reach Asia Project. And then show pictures of all the lost, starving, hungry people so we get money. Holy Spirit says, Paul, do not go to Asia. Paul says, well, okay, let's see here. I know. We'll go to Bithynia. All right, guys, change of plans. We're going to Bithynia. The Holy Spirit says, no. I don't want you going to Bithynia. Now, do you know all the people that have friends and relatives that live in Asia? They wanted Paul going to Asia. All the people with friends and relatives who live in Bithynia, they wanted Paul to go to Bithynia. You imagine Paul saying, well, I'm sorry, but Holy Ghost doesn't want me going to Asia. What? My family's in Asia. They need Jesus. You're missing God. I ain't giving to your ministry anymore. The Bithynia people say the same thing. And then Paul, he has this vision. And in this vision, there's a fellow from Macedonia that says, come, tell us about Jesus. So Paul goes to his group again and he says, all right, fellas, another change of plans. Had a dream, a vision. Man from Macedonia, explain, tell them. We're going to Macedonia. So he goes to Macedonia. Glory to God, he got arrested. Whooped on and beaten, thrown in jail. But he sat in jail and praised God. He was in the will of God. He did what God told him to do, and it looked like he missed God and blew it, and there was going to be no revival at all. It looked like nobody was going to get saved. To the church world, they would have said, you've blown your money to go there for this crusade. Look what happened. You got arrested. There ain't nothing good going to happen now. So he says, well, you know what, Silas? Can't do much down here in this prison cell. Let's just praise God. So they start singing and praising God. And all of a sudden, the power of God hit that jail. The thing began to shake. Everybody's shackles were released. Everybody's prison doors were released. And what happened? Revival broke out in Macedonia. Because Paul went beyond what he saw as a need. What was the need? Lost people in Asia. Lost people in Bithynia. He ignored what he saw as a most definite need. And he obeyed the word of God he received for him, for his calling, for his ministry. And when he did obey, it looked like things had gone wrong and there would have been criticism leveled in his direction, but he stayed true to the word he received from God. And listen, the word he received from God was not scripture. It was a prophetic word from the Holy Ghost through a vision to him. Here is what your Father wants you to do. He did it, and the end result was a revival that broke out in Macedonia to the point that at one time in Paul's ministry, the Philippian church was the only church supporting him financially. He did not miss God. He received a word from God. He didn't go to, say, the Old Testament and start reading to find out, what should I do? Well, he knew the Old Testament. But what he did was seek God for a specific, direct word for him and his ministry and what he was supposed to do. Now I want you to think about this. Look over in chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6. In verse 11, it says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, and that you be not slothful, but followers of them who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises." Followers of them who? The elders that have gone before us. Those people in the Old Testament who received a word from God. And they obeyed that word. And they inherited the promises associated with that word. Those people in the New Testament who received a word from the Lord. I mean, including Jesus. For the joy that was set before him. He endured everything he endured, including the cross. And now he's receiving the promises, the blessings.
Hallelujah.
What? The souls of mankind when people turn to Jesus and accept him as Lord and Savior. Look to those people in Scripture as the example. They received a word from God. They obeyed that word. It was to nobody else but to them. And they did what God told them to do. There were times when Moses would go up and he would have this encounter with God. And he would come back and he would tell the people what God said that they were to do. Moses received the word. He delivered the word unto the people. Now Moses and the people knew what they were supposed to do. Their obedience to that word brought the promises associated with that word. Every single time. All throughout Scripture. And now we have an admonition right here in Hebrews where he says, look, pay attention to what those people did. They received a word from God. They acted upon that word. They were not slothful. They were not lazy. They were diligent to apply what God told them to do. And when they did this, the time came that they inherited the promises associated with that word. Can I just bring us home? To us, right here in this church, this city. What is God's word to you? To each one of you. What is God's word to you? Furthermore, what is God's word to your pastor? And what is God's word to this church? Every single one of you who call this your church home, God has a word of instruction for you. Every single one of you. Part of those instruction words are directly related to the role you play in this church. See, if God has put you here and he said, I want you to call this your home church, then God has instructions for you individually, every single one of you individually, relative to what you're supposed to do in this church. Every one of you. And not only that, but there are promises and there are blessings specifically associated with those instructions for you. There are promises and blessings. God has ordained them. They are waiting for your obedience to his word. Every single one of you. Remember in the Old Testament when God was speaking to Moses. And he said, okay, look, here's my word of instruction to you. Here's how I want you to build the tabernacle. And then he said, okay, now this guy over here, he's a good wood worker. He's supposed to be working with wood. This one's good with metal. This one's good with cloth. This one's good with this and so forth. And so each one of those people received a specific individual word for themselves relative to the sum total of everything that God was doing in the construction of that tabernacle. And they all, through obedience, received the blessings associated with that word to them. It's the same thing for all of you, every single one of you. This is God's general word, what I'm sharing with you right now. And because I'm not saying it in King James, or I'm not saying, yeah, thus saith the Lord. This is God's word for every single one of you who call this your home church right now. Every single one of you have a specific individual role to play in this ministry. All of you. There are no exceptions. God's placed you here for a reason. Every one of you will have different roles. Many of those roles will overlap and they will intertwine with each other. You're all a part of this, specifically you. Too many of you have been waiting for your pastor to come forth with words. You are able to receive words on your own. But the words that you receive from God for you individually are going to mesh with the word that God is giving to this congregation in general concerning the end result, which is revival in Immokalee. Your first concern is here. Your second concern is beyond here. Your first concern is here. Now, what has God told you to do? You say, well, I really don't know. Okay, well, today you've heard something new. Today you have heard that God wants to speak to you directly. And He wants to tell you what He wants you to do relative to the goal for this ministry, which is revival in Immokalee. Every word that God has for you concerning your role here, you need to receive it. You say, well, praise God, I will, you know, as soon as the pastor calls me out in the service. Well, that could happen. But why not just go to God and say, okay, you have me in this church. Now, I've been sitting in this chair for however long. What do you want me to do here? See, often what we do is, oh, God, what is my ministry? What is my ministry? What is my thing? God has said, you know, you're thinking too much of just you. When I spoke to Moses, it wasn't simply about Moses. It was about Moses and the nation of Israel. You have a responsibility to all the people here, including your pastor and his wife. You have a responsibility. Well, let's face it, guys. In most churches, a lot of people, they just want to go to church. Don't bug me with the details. Don't bother me with responsibility. I just want to show up, do my thing, go to heaven. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? If that's you, then show up, go to heaven, and hallelujah. But for those of you who have a stirring in your heart, don't just look beyond these Friday confessions. It's not just habit. You're sowing the Word of God. You're sowing the Word and the will of God into this community. His Word is going forth out of this building. You're speaking it. When God said, when my word, it goes forth from my mouth, it won't return void. It will accomplish everything I send it forth to accomplish. He's in heaven. He speaks His word. It goes forth from where He is to where He wants it to be. When you begin to speak forth His word and His will, you are speaking it from where you are into this region. You're speaking His word as seed. You're not going to change the will of people. But what you can do is change the atmosphere of this region. Yes. Yes. Don't be weary in well-doing. Be diligent in these things. Because if you faint not, you're going to reap. Reap what you sow. What are you sowing? The Word of God. Every one of you has a responsibility. Every one of you, there is a word God wants to give to you about your role here. God wants to give your pastor a word for here. God wants to give the sum total of the Family Prayer Center of Immokalee a word for here. Praise God. Now listen, you've been confessing for a revival. You need to understand what I'm sharing with you this morning is a part of the process of having revival. I'm not talking about, you know what a solar flare is? You know, they're at the sun and all of a sudden, boom, these big flares of energy will, you know, shoot off out into space and then they fade out. That's what revivals have been in the past. They have been spiritual solar flares. They shot out. They were grand and glorious for a period of time, then they faded away. But see, what God wants to do is something that's not going to fade away. It's going to carry all the way to the very end of that last trump when Jesus comes back. That's why you have to do this. You have to go to God and say, tell me, what do you want me to do? What is my role here where you have placed me? And not only that, how am I supposed to impact my family here in this church? What do you want me to do, God? Show me what you want me to do. And it's going to be different for every person. Your pastor, the same thing. But then the sum total, show us what we need to do. In other words, We have Hebrews 11 as examples. We have the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But we need a specific word from you, O God, for this place, this hour, this season, this generation, so that we can see revival. What is your word for us? Hallelujah. As we continue in this week, I'm going to be sharing more and more with you about, just call it the preparation for revival. Because you're at a place now spiritually to where you can receive these things. All this prayer, all this confession you've been doing, it's been working in you spiritually to prepare you for this day and hour. These things that God is wanting to speak to you to say, okay, you're at this place now. Let's go to the next mile marker. Let's go to the next level. Here's what you need to know. Here's what you need to apply, because it's going to enable me to begin working in your midst in ways I have never before been able to work. God wants revival more than we want it.
Yes.
And see, these principles that I'm sharing, they would apply in any church.
Yes.
But God has sent me here this week to share these things with this church because of where you are in God. Praise God. Would you please stand?